From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin. In a few minutes, the fiance of the man who died from Ebola in Dallas shares her personal story. Our top news tonight, protesters are gathering in McKinney right now, and the city is in the national spotlight after a viral video shows a police confrontation at a pool party. The video taken Friday shows a McKinney police officer pushing a 15-year-old girl to the ground and pointing his gun at other teens, yelling and swearing. McKinney city official says the officer, Corporal David Eric Casebolt, has been placed on administrative leave. Police are investigating. Civil rights groups, community activists, and pastors gathered outside the McKinney Police Department earlier today to express their outrage. At the moment, protesters are in McKinney to protest police brutality. We understand there's a counter-protest in the works. KERA Stella Chavez joins us from Collin County. Civil rights and community leaders talked at a press conference today. What did they say?
Well, the community leaders expressed frustration about how the officer acted and how the teens were treated. Several people said that the officer should be fired. Dominique Alexander is the president of the Next Generation Action Network.
These children that was harassed and put on the curb, and the young lady that a knee was put to her back, they stayed in this community. They had every right to be there at that pool.
A parent named Yahi Adisa Bakari also spoke, and he's the father of a teenager who helped the girl who was pinned down by the officer in the video.
I was very disappointed in the city of McKinney's police department. It was a swimming party. They didn't send any female officers out there. There weren't any black officers out there if you heard that there was a lot of black people. And that's one of the things I'd like for them to have some character detail.
And the NAACP issued a statement calling the treatment of the teens inhumane. They're also asking for an investigation by an independent police group. So as you can see, a lot of people are very upset about what happened and asking for more information and an investigation.
Stella, you've been talking with people in the neighborhood. What's their reaction?
Well, the reaction has been mixed. Some people are very concerned, have said that the officer used too much force on the teenager, that he shouldn't have pulled out his gun. Other people say that he acted appropriately and that the party was getting out of hand. Maurice Gray is a parent who says his wife and five kids were at the pool Friday night when the incident happened. He told me about a phone call he got from his wife that night.
I get a call later saying, police has been called, they're pulling guns. We got the kids because I got the kids out of harm's way.
And Maurice Gray is black. One thing he stressed is he does not see this as a racial issue. He doesn't want it to turn into that. But he is concerned about the amount of force that the police used. But I also spoke with white residents, and some of them say what happened at the party wasn't racially motivated. Here's Jeremy Faust. He's a white resident.
Very unfortunate because this is a really, really quiet and good community. You don't see this type of stuff around here at all. Let's just see what happens and hope everything turns out right and nobody gets hurt and people protest peacefully.
That's KERA Stella Chavez in McKinney. She's covering tonight's protest and we'll have a full report from her tomorrow at 8:20 a.m. Thanks, Stella.
Thanks, Justin.
Last fall in Dallas, Thomas Eric Duncan became the first person to die from Ebola in the United States. He left behind his fiancée, Louise Tro. Today on Think, Chris Boyd talked to Tro about how she leaned on her family and faith to make it through. Think producer Stephen Becker has this recap.
When Thomas Eric Duncan began to develop flu-like symptoms after arriving from Liberia, Louise Tro didn't think much of it. Duncan had had typhoid fever before. Plus, other people who had visited her from Africa also felt run down upon arrival.
I was thinking it's his first time coming and it's just a climate change. So I wasn't even thinking about Ebola.
Soon, Duncan was admitted to Texas Health Presbyterian Hospital in Dallas. When Tro got the call from a doctor confirming the worst, she was doing laundry at her neighborhood laundromat.
When I heard it, I was already dead. I couldn't even think. I was not thinking, and people calling me, and everywhere they were calling me, and I won't answer the phone.
One of the many people Tro relied on as Duncan's condition worsened was her teenage son, Timothy.
He was my encouragement. He was encouraging me. He's a brave young black boy. He's like, nobody going to call me Ebola. Nobody going to talk about Ebola to me because I don't have it. He never worried. If I asked him to take his temperature, he was like, I'm sick of taking temperature. I'm not sick. And I said, we have to just listen to them. We have to be obedient so we can get out of here, okay? And he said, okay.
Tro says the support of the people around her and her faith got her through. She thought a lot about Moses, Job, and other figures from the Bible whose faiths were tested. And she's come to view Duncan's death as a sacrifice that saved others.
He came as, like, how Jesus died on the cross for us, because Aaron and death brought a whole lot of attention around the world to Ebola. Everybody is trying to know about Ebola, study about Ebola, and get a very good medication for Ebola before it spreads all over the world. So he came, he died as a sacrifice to save the Africans.
Last month, the World Health Organization proclaimed Liberia Ebola-free. Stephen Becker, KERA News.
Louise Tro's new memoir, co-authored with Christine Wicker, is called My Spirit Took You In, the romance that sparked an epidemic of fear. Think rears tonight at 9, or you can listen to the podcast at kera.org/think. A surprise upset happened at the Tony Awards ceremony last night in New York. A musical with North Texas ties did not win big the way many expected it to, although it was hardly a major loss. Michael Jenkins, managing director of the Dallas Summer Musicals, is one of the producers of An American in Paris. It's a splashy adaptation of the beloved 1951 romantic movie with music by George Gershwin. The show earned 12 Tony nominations, and so did Fun Home, which is a much smaller, unconventional musical adapted from a graphic novel about growing up as a lesbian. But when the votes were tallied, Fun Home won 5 Tonys, including the big one that often matters with ticket sales. Best musical comedy, Michael Jenkins says many in the crowd at Radio City Music Hall, where the ceremony was held, were as surprised as he was.
American in Paris was my 135th show on Broadway that we've either produced or invested in, so I'm used to some of the disappointments. But I tell you, the show is so successful financially, plus American Paris will have a very long touring life. Right now, over 73 cities will be in the tour.
An American in Paris is scheduled to come to the Dallas Summer Musicals in 2017. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin.